Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or tea. Sit back. See, I've got my Gemini cup today. I'm all ready for astrology, human design, Pleiadian earth energy astrology, the gene keys. Although maybe I'm really not ready for all of that today. In fact, I'm thinking it is kind of a sleepy sort of day. I feel a little bit like slow. And when I checked the astrology, I saw why, because this morning the moon is in Pisces and it's void of course, which means that the moon is not making any new contacts with any other planetary bodies until 11:32 my time this morning. So 11:12:12:32 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. That is well into your work day before you actually get an injection of energy. And unless you are a Piscean, you probably are feeling a little bit punch drunk, maybe a little bit overwhelmed with the number of things on your desk for the morning, or you just have that sleepy feeling. And no matter what time you went to bed last night, how much sleep you got, the day is a slow start. Rest assured, it does pick up as the day wears on. As the day wears on, the moon moves into Aries. But guess what? There are no connections to planets today. So we don't have a day of interference. We don't have a day of having to, I don't know, watch ourselves, watch our words, watch our steps. In a way, this is just a good day, a good active day as the day wears on. Although this morning and into early afternoon for you all on the East Coast, it may just feel a little bit slow. Like, can I crawl back into bed? You know, I always know it's going to be one of those kind of days when I wake up and it's so cloudy and just kind of damp, dreary feeling out there. It's not raining and it's not supposed to rain. It's just, you know, it mirrors to me the astrological landscape. Now, that's for my own use. Where you live, it might be bright and sunny. Where you live, it could be already hot. I don't know. But where I am right now this morning, it's just a little bit slow and the weather is sort of mirroring that. Let's see who we've got with us this morning and say good morning to Michelle Gay. Good morning, Mimi. Good morning, Camille. And Camille says, congrats, you completed the big project. I can't even believe I didn't lead with that. Oh my goodness. Yes, Camille. And yes, everybody out there. Maybe that's why I'm feeling a little bit punch drunk, because I worked my you know what off for 3 full days. I know there are a couple of you out there who I promised I would get charts to or some kind of dialogue going. I think it was Vanita and Rebecca. I apologize. I dove in and I didn't really come up for a breath. Although periodically I would get up and move around and, you know, shake things up, get my body moving, because to stay in that space for so long is mind-boggling, but I managed to finish the project. And in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, within 5 days of deadline, woohoo! But I got to tell you that the toll it takes on you to do something like that, and the difference between someone like me who has a defined will center versus about 80% of you out there who think you have a defined will center, but don't. Right? I have the endurance. I have the capability to do that. I'm paying the price for it a bit today and feeling that lethargic feel. But some of you out there who try to use that kind of endurance and perseverance are literally, you know, burning yourselves out. And I almost feel that today. I'm burned out on writing and I'm at least about astrology. I'm burned out on even thinking, you know, so far in the future. I was having a conversation this morning with my friend Michelle Gay about time. And, you know, she works at a dance studio and she's been sitting there with thoughts of what's going on over the 4th of July. She's out there in, you know, the next couple of months already. For me, I've been living in 2020. And I would find myself coming back to 2019 and going, what's going on now? I mean, like, I've almost felt like I've been living through the nightmare that some of 2020 is presenting us with. But what an awesome opportunity we have in that when I mean, first of all, I'm not predicting exactly what's going to happen for 2020. I'm trying to, but there's a lot of time in the intermediary space here and time for us to change the seeming reality that's coming up for us. And so in a way, there's a gift here, a blessing in that I can get people prepared for what is eventually going to be probably one of those years that will, if you look at the history books 50 years from now, it'll be 2020 that people look to for the dynamic change that is upon us. And the kind of change that is upon us isn't easy. Right? It isn't easy. It's an all-out assault on everything that we hold dear, all of our sacred cows, if you will. And that can mean our politics, that could be our values, that could be our laws, that could be our institutions. It could be so many different things as we move, you know, through the rest of this year and into 2020, that we're literally going to be feeling, you know, whiplashed, gobsmacked, etc. And if you couple that kind of metamorphosis with the speed of light, the speed of time and how it moves right now, we literally are going to be in breakdown mode. And when I say breakdown mode, I don't mean that as in, you know, you're going to be psychotic and need to be in a loony bin, not at all. What I mean by that is we can only take in so much, right? We can only process so much data. It's like, you know, your laptop or your computer or your telephone, your technology can only process so much before it slows down. And you know it's processing too much when it starts to lag or when it starts to, you know, stutter in its ability to bring you the information you're searching for. I know it when I see my video begin to sort of wobble, that, you know, it's using up too much energy. Now I totally forgot where I was going with that. Oh, flicker frequency. In the human mind can literally process about 24 frames per second. That's the flicker frequency. Anything that gets higher than that becomes more subliminal. And they discovered this years ago, back in the maybe 60s and late 60s, early 70s, with the advent of subliminal advertising, where they would speed up the information that's coming through, and it wouldn't be picked up by the conscious mind. It would be picked up by the subconscious mind. And so you'd find yourself sitting in the car at the drive-in, suddenly, you know, you're watching the movie, but there's been some subliminal message about going and getting popcorn and a Coke, and you're thirsty now and you want something to eat, and you get out of your car and you go, you know, I'm talking drive-ins here. You know, it was an interesting thing that was going on, because we can access only so much with the conscious mind. And when you are being literally assaulted by so much going on, your conscious mind turns off. And now the subconscious mind takes over and you begin to move sort of through your life automatically. And we're going to have to be watching for this, right? Because if we're moving through our lives automatically, we're not consciously aware of what we're doing, of where we're going, of what's happening. So prepare. That's why this year, it was so important for us to develop or enhance a spiritual practice. It is extraordinarily important for us to lean into whatever it is that your belief system is around God, Goddess, Source, Creator, the cosmology that you adhere to. Not necessarily the dogma or the doctrine of religions. That's not what I'm really talking about, although I'm not beating up religion here. I'm just saying there's a higher spiritual element that we can move into that keeps us grounded and keeps us centered and keeps us from moving into unconsciousness or subconsciousness. And that, my friends, is the beauty in being able to be living so far into the future that you can almost see with this little crystal ball what kinds of things might happen. Knowing those things and writing about them gave me some other insight in that everything that we do right now, from and everything that we've been doing, gives us the opportunity to change the future and create the future. Maybe not change it, but create it. be the co-creators of the world that we want to live in, as opposed to this very polarized and divided world that we are in. So that's probably what we're going to end up talking about for the near future and moving into 2020. I even think in, you know, 20, one thing I noticed is there are a lot of dangerous transits going on next year, dangerous as in possible military action, danger as in, you know, terrorist type things. And of course, that's my very limited way of being able to see the bigger picture, right, is through the filter of the what's happened in the past when we've had those kinds of major transits. It could literally be something completely different. That's the beauty here is we're in the creator seat, right? Knowing that that's possible is one thing, but driving what happens is the completely opposite direction, perhaps, right? So we can redefine what goes on. To be sure, there is transformation and metamorphosis and change coming and destruction, right? More destruction coming. But it can be a good thing. It can be what leads us into the Aquarian age in a much more powerful way. But we also have caution signs up for the Aquarian age as well. When we start to think about the Aquarian age, we automatically believe, at least I do, maybe I'm, you know, putting this out there on you guys, but we kind of have this thought that, you know, it's brotherhood and sisterhood and it is unity and it's, you know, it's kind of this utopian world or this utopian age that we move into, which is not true either, right? It isn't true. And there are a lot of fallacies around Aquarius that we have to weed through and tease through before we get to the movement of Pluto into Aquarius and also the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in Aquarius that happens on the winter solstice of 2020. So much, but I am very relieved to have that done, to have it off my plate, so to speak, as I've lived and breathed it for so many days and in a very intense way. So on one hand, yes, it's done today. I'm also sitting here going, now what fills my time? I have lots of ideas and lots of projects that I had to put on hold in order to do this kind of writing. And I need to get back to those. So that's probably where I'll put my focus. But it may take me some time to get there. So be patient. New material coming, new ideas about webinars and things like that. So let me finish what I was doing here, saying good morning to everybody. Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Rebecca. And good morning, Vanita. Good morning, Jacqueline. Linda, good morning to you. Jacqueline says, oh, that's right. Congrats on finishing your project. Thank you. Thank you. Vanita says, it's all good. I didn't know if I sent my message correctly. Vanita, you did. I got the message. I just literally, though, couldn't bring myself up. I was done. I think I posted that around 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I vegged the rest of the night. I mean, literally turned on television, and I don't know what I was watching because I was just done, literally done. Oh, I did go outside and pull some weeds and things like that, too, but Kathy Miller, good morning, everyone. I had a beautiful weekend with a niece to explore a couple of towns in Southern Oregon. She is my birthday twin. That's awesome. Good morning, Latricia. Good morning, Colleen. Good morning, Londa. Are you back home now? I hope so. It's time for us to get on our bikes, girl. Good morning, Diana Ballgard. So I hope I didn't miss anybody. If I missed saying good morning to you, I apologize. Just know, everybody, I wish you a good morning. So let's take a look then ahead at the week, since I've already talked about today and there's not much going on, with the exception of the quiet of the day, until we get into that afternoon time for you all on the East Coast where the moon moves into Aries and action picks up. But even so, at that point, there still are not any planets that the moon is striking at that point to be able to, create issues. So use the energy wisely today. Use it in a good way. Clean off your desk. If you let things go over the 3-day weekend, you know, put them back in order. Maybe just spend some time outside, get some exercise, do some of the things that you can't do when your normal life is beckoning and calling you. Tomorrow it changes. So tomorrow is not a bad day either. But remember, the moon is in Aries. And when the moon is in Aries, we tend to do quick things. We tend to have an edge of emotional volatility, just below the surface, simmering below the surface. And it doesn't take much sometimes to trigger that for us. And tomorrow we have a Mercury square Neptune. So that is the mind not clear, no clarity in the mind tomorrow. It's possible you've got jumbled thoughts. It's possible that maybe you are in the process of needing to make a big decision. Tomorrow's probably not the best day to make a big decision, because when Mercury and Neptune tangle, Neptune is nebulous. It's hard to pin down. It's not clear. And it's murky. That's another good word. It's murky. And then you take Mercury, which rules the mind and speech, and we aren't clear with our thoughts when it comes into a challenge with Neptune. We're not clearly speaking what it is that we need to speak. In other words, there's sort of a, you know how sometimes when you're talking and your mind wanders off and then it comes back and you're like, oh yeah, what was I saying? That's the kind of day we might have tomorrow. And that means it's possible that things don't come out the way you mean them. So literally be very aware. Try to stay in your body, in your mind, correctly sitting here in the now tomorrow. But I bet tomorrow is going to be one of those days where you just kind of wander off. The moon is also squaring Mars tomorrow. And now I've got to look and see where in the hell is Mars, because in my world of 2020, it was in Aries, and I know it's not there now. It is in the sign of Cancer. That's right. It's in water. It's slowed down, and it is squaring the moon in fire. So the moon is in Mars's home, kind of downloading emotional energy to a planet that's in the moon's home, right? So that's called mutual reception. And when we have mutual reception, it empowers the energy between the two planets. So mutual reception, meaning Mars is in Cancer. Cancer is the home of the moon. The moon will be in Aries, or is in Aries at that point tomorrow, which is the home of Mars. So the planets are working well together, but working well, Mars and moon, means explosions of emotion, right? Moodiness. So tomorrow we may have to work pretty hard at keeping our volatility down. And yet we can also put that emotional energy to good work for us as well. Maybe, you know, getting some clarity around things that we want to do, maybe satisfying Mars's energy in Cancer that wants to have a stability, right? That wants to have security. So, you know, patching any holes in your projects, or taking the time to really look at what it is that you want to do and making sure it's all going to work the way that you want it to work. So not necessarily a good day to take new action, but certainly a day for us to be able to do some work behind the scenes, perhaps, maybe taking a sideways glance, looking back at and seeing where the weaknesses might be and shore them up. Wednesday. Oh, tomorrow is Wednesday. So Thursday we move into, well, it won't be until late in the evening when the moon gives way from Aries to Taurus. In fact, for you all, I'm calculating in my mind, for you all on the East Coast, it won't be until Friday morning. For us on the West Coast, Friday evening, late 9:43 p.m., that the moon moves out of Aries and into Taurus, softening the energy, and Venus trines Saturn on Friday. That's usually a really good vibe between you and someone you love, your relationships. So I would, you know, to me, when I see Venus squaring or trining or anything with Saturn, it reminds me of our taking our power back in a relationship, gaining your own authority in a relationship, becoming an equal with whoever it is that you're in relationship with. Now, if you're the one that's been dominant, it is, you know, allowing the other person's energy to come up and, you know, have their own authority. If you're the one that's at the weaker end of a relationship, it's time for you to empower yourself and bring your authority up. So that to me is not bad energy, but it can be tricky. right? Because you have to first realize that you've been playing the victim in a relationship, or that you've been playing the low game, and it's time to up your game, right? So we can up our game on Saturday. Now that's the last day of May. I find that so hard to believe, right? That the last day in May leads us to the first day in June. Excuse me, that was Friday. The first day of June is on Saturday. The moon is in Taurus all day, and it's only the moon that is making conjunctions, one with Venus and it should also be making a conjunction to, oh, it did that on Friday, maybe. Let me look back, because I'd want to warn you of that one. Yes, on Friday, the 31st, the last day of the week, last day of the work week, the moon will conjunct Uranus in early degrees of Taurus. So there may be, I'm wondering, is there financial information coming out on Friday? Is there some kind of economic test that we are facing as we move into the weekend? Maybe the numbers for May won't, let's see, that brings us to the end of the second, it doesn't. I don't know. Beware. Just be aware, not beware, but be aware of financial news coming out on Friday and maybe even into Saturday. And it could even be into Sunday as we look ahead. June, quieter month, right? Not terrible in terms of what's happening out there. I haven't really taken a look yet at the entire month, but my guess is that it is a more internalized month, where we can work through some inner issues, where we can get new direction, because the following month, July, we end up in a Mercury retrograde, we end up in eclipse season. And so June sort of builds up that energy toward those eclipses. And in that, then get a real good sense of direction and, you know, what comes next. Over the weekend, though, gosh, not too much. You know, really, it's very, very quiet. Sunday might be a great day for socializing and getting out there in the world. Venus is trine Pluto that day. That's a really good day to go out and be with other people and hang with your friends, new conversations, join new groups, be with new people. As the moon will transition out of Taurus and into Gemini, things get quirkier, things get, you know, more social. And of course, that is right in alignment with the sun right now in Gemini as well. All right. So questions out there. How's everybody doing? Debbie says, I have shingles delivered. Oh, wait. So you don't mean you have shingles, the medical condition? This is shingles for your roof, I hope. I hope that's what you're talking about, Debbie, because shingles as a condition is not fun, completely not fun. It's good to see you. Vanita says, I totally understand. I'm not sure that might be about me not being able to get to you right away. So what else would you all like to talk about today? It's early and I'm done. I knew I was going to be sitting here facing the Human Design Week doesn't even take us into really deep, juicy, fun territory. It is something we talked about last week. There is nothing deeply probing that I want to talk about today. She says yes for my house. Thank goodness, because I was hoping you didn't have shingles. thank God you said delivered. So that gave me the idea of, oh, okay, great. That, you know, it's probably her roof, not a disease or a condition. So anyway, tell me any questions you might have. I'm going to pull a card for us for the week. And I'm going to pull two cards. It's funny because I can share this because, oh, thanks, Lynn. I will do that. I did check that out for today too. I think it was probably, I was dealing with October or November of 2020. And I went, you know, this is the message that I have to keep delivering is not a fun one. And it was, you know, getting more and more, the transits were getting more and more dangerous looking. And I was like, God, what the heck? How can I, you know, get this information, you know, out to people and, you know, be as positive as I could be in the face of so much potential for destruction and what have you. And this was the card I drew because I went to the deck and I said, tell me. And, you know, first of all, when you look at that, it does look a bit austere, right? It looks dead, but it also has these places where there's fire and it's the card of regeneration. So that, you know, and it's the number 46 card, which is a 10, which is a 1. So it gave me hope. It actually gave me the impetus to continue what I was doing and to finish what I was doing because there was a purpose to it all, right? There was a purpose to it all. And then I pulled this card and this card was Go the Distance. It's a 47 and it leads to the number 11, which we all know is about enlightenment. It's a master number. It's a spiritual number. This was upside down, however. So it was like telling me, don't give up. Don't give up, stay the distance or go the distance. This too shall pass. And then the third card I pulled was yin, be in receiving, right? You know, to me, I was thinking about, there was a lot of energy actually about the rise of the feminine. And as I got to the election, which here in the US, so for those of you who aren't from the US, you can ignore this. But, you know, November 3rd, highly, powerfully energetic day. And it falls, you know, in a month that has crazy energy associated with it. And I thought, as I started looking at some of these degrees of signs, and I couldn't just look at the regular planets. I ended up following the line of the Black Moon Lilith, of the White Moon Selena, of Pallas Athena, of the moon, actually, even. And it seems to me that there is a greater than normal chance of a woman being elected president here in the US at that time. And if there isn't a woman that's elected, it could mean that more women get added to the political system in some way from the local elections, from the Senate, you know, House, etc. So the potential for much more feminine energy being expressed in powerful ways, in positions, from positions of power, is, you know, really looking more probable and likely as we go through 2020, which I was kind of excited by. But I don't believe this. This card just jumped out of the deck. Now, you saw me. I had put it back into the deck and I was shuffling the deck and this card popped out and jumped. So regeneration. So now I'm going to read, and it was right side up. So let's read about regeneration. And card 46 puts me at the end of the deck. Even I'm having trouble tracking and keeping my mind together here this morning. The essential meanings: rebirth, second chances, and new opportunities. Second chances are available to you now. Whatever opportunities you thought were dead are revived in a more authentic, stronger form. Whatever you may have perceived as a failure or loss is now being replaced by something better and more powerful growing in its place. This rebirth is assured. Step into your new life. Destiny is being fulfilled in wonderful ways, wondrous ways. The relationship message for the week would be then, the world is based on connections and relationships. No matter what loss has occurred in the past or even now, death and endings are only illusions. There is life after death, love after loss, and in this moment, you are radiating the regenerative life force energy that makes you irresistible to love in all forms. Now is the time when you will see evidence of this new emergence. Can you feel it? Love is rising up to greet you. The prosperity message for the week then. What happens when it appears you failed at something? Do you see the beauty in the lesson? The understanding that arises from difficulties is like a seed that lies dormant for a time. Then once it germinates in your subconscious, it pushes through into your awareness. It is becoming apparent that there is a new you, a new start, a more powerful version and form of what you began to plant in the garden of your imagination. You are ripe for success. New opportunities, much better than those that came before, appear like gifts from the gods. Now is one of those times when out of seeming loss and failure comes remarkable abundance. Do not dwell on the past, because you really are experiencing a rebirth. Wow. That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that I was telling you about the card, and then it actually is the one that comes up for the week. Mimi says, definitely feeling a growing of the strong divine energy for the long haul. Mama bear and lioness energies. Indeed, indeed. But I got to tell you guys something. In the process of research, I am going to draw an animal card, and I will get to the Pleiadian earth energy. In the process of doing the research, I came across a site, and I'm going to find it, because I think I left it open on my laptop. I don't see it now, but I think I know where I think I found it. And it was an article about the Jupiter conjunct Saturn in Aquarius, or the Jupiter conjunct Saturn cycle. Every 20 years, between 18 and 20 years, right now we're on a 20-year cycle. It's almost like clockwork, right? So the last Jupiter-Saturn conjunction was in 2000. We have a Jupiter-Saturn conjunction at 0 degrees Aquarius coming up here in December of 2020. Every time that has fallen in a presidential election year, the president of the United States has died or been assassinated or had an assassination attempt made upon his life, because no women have been in office at this point. And that's an interesting pattern going back to 1840, every 20 years from 1840. And the last one being George Bush, an attack on a live grenade had been handed to him or something like that, could have blown him up. And I don't think we heard about that. I don't think that was in the news. 20 years before that, it was the assassination attempt on Reagan. And 20 years before that, it was Kennedy. And 20 years before that, another death. I don't remember now which one it was. So throughout time, when Jupiter and Saturn come together for a conjunction, if it coincides with the election year, which it does here, it has been, then there's often the death of a president for whatever purpose. Most of them were assassinations. Two of them or three of them were, since 1840, were death, natural causes. Two of them were attempts that were foiled or, didn't end up getting the president assassinated. So interesting, right? Interesting. And there are more than several astrologers out there predicting a Trump win for 2020. And I just can't even imagine. I just can't even imagine. But again, everything is happening in perfect right order, whatever it is that happens. And we'll just have to wait and see how it fares. It's just time and how we repeat and how, it's how history repeats itself. And then, of course, how history gets written by those who are the winners of the day or of the time. So we have lots to think of. We have lots to consider. And it's going to be, I think, a test of our light to be moving through the next several months into next year. There are a couple of, I looked up to see what dates there were presidential debates for next year. And wouldn't you know it, that the two that are scheduled, one is in June, I believe it was, and the other one at the end of July, are both at critical times in the astrology. It's amazing. Critical. And when I say critical, I mean loud, raucous, upsetting kind of energies. I think the debates will be very interesting as we go into that season. You know, we're not very far from that season. It's already appearing that we're going to get to a point of craziness in speeches and things like that. Colleen says, well, let's hope those astrologers are wrong. Camille, wow, you're singing my tune. Debbie saying yay. I don't know why yay, but well, let's just see what animal card we have for the week. Ah, we have peacock. And peacock, isn't she pretty? Or he, it's a he when it's that beautiful. Look at the heart shining through. And it says, let it shine. However, it was upside down, so we're in protection mode. Let's take a look at what peacock means for us for the week. Peacock would be further back. By the way, you want to hear something funny? I was driving, I don't know where I was driving to the other day, someday last week. I'm driving along. First of all, that morning, my husband had said to me, guess what I saw the other day? And I said, what? He said, a peacock. I went, a peacock? I go, are you sure it wasn't a turkey or, you know, a pheasant? Those two I would believe, but a peacock? And he's like, no, it was a peacock. What, you know, those birds that when they open up their feathers has a bunch of eyes? And I went, that's a peacock. And so the next day, I don't know where I was headed. I'm driving along and I look, and out in the field, just in the field, was a peacock. I went, no way. Is there a peacock walking through the field? But there was a peacock in the field. Somebody must own one around here somewhere. I don't know. He was in a field, like didn't appear that he belonged anywhere or was, you know, owned by anybody, but it's possible, I suppose. And, beautiful birds, just beautiful birds. So let's read what peacock means. Let it shine. The message says, when is the last time you shook a tail feather and shined your light for all to see? Within each of us is a peacock spirit yearning for expression, and you are called now to show the world the gorgeous creature you are, for you are a manifestation of spirit. Come out from the shadows, peacock spirit says, and show your true colors so that others may be inspired to express their own exquisiteness. Dance as if you remember what you are made of, that you are made of stardust and grace, filled with life force energy and sparkling light. You are a channel for divine love, and your dance is one of a kind. Catch the light and help it to shimmer and dance in celebration of your good fortune of being right here, right now. Spirit wants you to be joyful so that others may get up and dance along with you. The protection message. Are you afraid of dancing with abandon because of what others might think? Do you think you may be punished if you shine too brightly? Have you been conditioned to expect to be hurt if you show yourself fully to the world? Maybe not everyone will celebrate your beautiful radiance when you shine. That is okay. Peacock Spirit is here to remind you that while others may resist celebrating the beauty within them, although they may contract while you expand and shake your tail feathers, smile and keep dancing anyway. Model the good fortune and abundant joy that is yours, and soon someone will say, me too, and join you. Spirit loves you so much and wants you to enjoy the dance and shine your light. God, that's what we need. You know, in my consideration of what was going on for, you know, 2020, I thought what we need is the light. What we need is every person on the planet that can, that knows better, to shine their light. And, you know, that includes all of you, right? All of you, shine your lights. Let it shine for all to see. Be spiritual, you know, claim your spirituality. Lean into it in trying times. And know that there is a plan, that there is a higher purpose, that all is happening in right and perfect order, even if we don't like it. And that's just the way that we have to move through these times. Michelle Gay, there's a bunch that got out and then hatched last year in Cedro Woolley by my friend's house. They're so loud, it makes her dogs crazy. but I wasn't in Cedro Woolley. I was on Farm to Market and Bayview Edison Road. So right there close to where the, you know, road tees. So he was out in those fields there, right past the river. So peacocks are appearing lately, like your earrings. Yes, but today I'm not wearing peacocks. But I love my peacock earrings. Camille, it was wow on those cards, especially the last one that brought it all together. Amazing, isn't it? And anyway, peacocks, peacocks, peacocks. I just love that color, peacock blue. Peacocks and hummingbirds, right? I was in a dilemma when I was redesigning my website because I couldn't decide if I wanted hummingbirds or peacocks. Hummingbirds won, although I absolutely adore peacocks. Okay, so today's Pleiadian Earth energy. I already looked this up. Today is the last day of the 13-day week for the Pleiadian Earth astrology. And that means it is a day for ascension, of moving up to the next level. That's what the number 13 is in both Mayan and Pleiadian Earth energy calendars. And let's see, the number 13, let's see if I can find any more information on it. It's time for completing, a time for completing all unfinished business and integrating it so that we can begin a new cycle tomorrow. Indeed, tomorrow begins the new cycle. That's the universal energy, by the way, is 13. The earth energy is feeling, and feeling is Muluk in Mayan astrology, if you're familiar with that. And Muluk energy is energy of the East, and it's a chance to deal with emotions. And the inappropriate response for today's energy would be to be emotionally reactive, right? To knee jerk and not breathe, holding space for the ability to respond. So endings, completion, ready for ascension, and in your emotions. Right? Feeling. And then that puts us in, I didn't even look to see what the 1 week is going to be, because that's important. The one is going to be after feeling is devoting, community oriented, harmonious. That's a good energy. That's dog energy, ok in Mayan. It's loyal. It's trustworthy. It's God spelled backwards. It's you looking in the mirror and seeing the truth of who you are and being that, showing up as that in the world. And, you know, in Pleiadian Earth energy, the one, the first day of the week, no matter what it is, holds the energy, the space for everything else to be revealed in the next 12 days. So day one always has special meaning, and it overlaps everything else that's going on throughout the rest of the week. All right, guys, I think that's it. If anybody doesn't have any questions, nothing on your minds that you want to talk about, I'm going to take this opportunity to nod off. By the way, for the couple of reminders for the week, Thursday is the Ascension and Astrology Show, 4 p.m. Pacific time. On the Ascension and Astrology Facebook page. This week, I am not going to be there because I'm headed on a field trip with my granddaughter to the zoo, where likely I'm going to see peacocks and all kinds of wonderful animals, I'm hoping. And the topic of conversation for Thursday then is that Cornelia will be speaking with Donna Blevins. Remember Donna, months back, she appeared here in the morning with us talking about a book that she wrote about the mind. You might remember she's the woman that experienced a very powerful stroke, and she managed to maintain her awareness even though she couldn't speak. She maintained her awareness throughout the whole experience. She was hearing everything the doctors were saying about her prognosis, and she was able to choose her own path forward. She, irregardless of the doctor saying she may never speak again or she may never walk again and that kind of thing, she, from a place of awareness, chose a different path. And as we all saw when she was on the morning show, she's completely able to walk and talk. And she did that by using her mind in a different way than what we would think of with doctors who give you a diagnosis and then you fall prey to that diagnosis or to the conditioning effect of, you know, the prognosis. Really fascinating stuff. She's a fascinating woman. I hope you'll join Cornelia and Donna then at 4 p.m. Pacific time on the Ascension and Astrology page. Other than that, I am done. I'm done. Natasha, good morning to you. Peacocks are also the meaning of a phoenix energy of destruction and rebuilding. There was nothing about that in the card that we looked at, but I can see the connection because peacock and those big feathers, and those eyes on the feathers, right? Those eyes are very all-seeing eyes, maybe, right? They see into and through and beyond. Interesting, just interesting. The phoenix, of course, with its big feathers and its, you know, trial by fire and then rising up and rebirthing. All right. Thank you for sharing that, Natasha. That's pretty cool. And that is it for me today. I will be back here tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. I will be back here tomorrow. And I hope you all have a wonderful day. See you then. Bye for now.